Praise God. Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Father, I thank you, Lord God, you helped us shift or transition into your word tonight. And we thank you for the miracles so far. We thank you for miracles with your word. Revelation in Jesus' name. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Praise you, Jesus. We pray in the Spirit. Remember intercession every day at 2 o'clock, Monday through Friday. Show them that they've been kind of looking intercessions before this week. We're getting to it. Show them that they are you there? Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. We know this first, right? You get born again, you're not who you used to be. You're now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've changed identities. Praise you, Lord God. And back in January, it seemed like a couple weeks ago, but it's been over a month now, I was driving to Illinois to the Watershed Conference. I was going to minister there. And like I normally do, I pray in the Spirit most of the way when I'm driving, if I'm by myself. And I'm praying in the Spirit, and I start revelating on things. And I want to have fun tonight with a message I got driving to Illinois back in January. What I started thinking about is how we, as humans, tend to have a lot of imaginations. I mean, I've played basketball for the NBA, football for the NFL. I've been the batting champion for the National Baseball Association, National League, American, whatever, baseball. I have been able to dunk a basketball in my daydreams. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In fact, when I used to take a trip by myself before I knew Jesus, I would try to create a daydream because they helped the time pass. I'd be 100 miles down the road. Oh, I've just been in a daydream. And so, again, I remember talking about this, guys dream about being a star athlete. I guess women, they dream about being a movie star. Again, I've been Spider-Man, Captain America, Thor, and everything else. As a kid, we used to have metal trash can lids. I threw them all over the neighborhood. Captain America.
And they had
a
handle on them, too.
I was like Calvin and Hobbes. I'd get a towel around my neck and jump off of something. Superman.
Trash. That sounds like Bill Winston.
Bill Winston?
He used to play Superman.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
But I had these daydreams, and I still see them sometimes trying to rise up. Watching the ball game. Man, if I could just do this. And I realized, what a stupid thought process. Do you follow me? Have any of you ever had daydreams where you were doing something beyond your own ability?
Absolutely.
I mean, Patty wants to be on every cooking show in her daydreams. And of course, hers were fulfilled when she married me. And I got to thinking about these things we daydream about. Women may be having the perfect house or the perfect host or the perfect party or the perfect wedding. They'll think about these things.
Kitchen,
grandkids, or whatever. And men are thinking about being superheroes or building something the world's never seen. I've actually built perpetual motion machines in my daydreams. They don't exist. They're daydreams I have. And I got to thinking about this. Never in my life. Does anybody remember when we were kids there was a comic strip called Sad Sack?
Yeah.
Sad Sack was an army private.
Yeah.
And he was always messing up. He was always gloomy. He was like Eeyore in the army.
Mm-hmm.
And never in my life did I daydream about being Sad Sack. Maybe Sergeant Rock or something, or some, war hero. But never Sad Sack. It never occurred to me to be Eeyore in my daydreams. Somebody like that. And I got to thinking about, how about this one? Gilligan. Now, I didn't used to daydream about being the professor. Amen? But again, I'd want to get friendly with Ginger at least. Now she's the only one left. I could daydream maybe by being a professor on an island, stranded, you know, and building things. But in my life, I never daydreamed about being Gilligan. Did any of you?
No.
Never occurred to me. And then I started thinking about Nicket. I've never had a daydream about being Barney Fife. Let me get my bullet. This occurred to me. I prayed in the spirit. This is all coming to me. And it dropped in to me that we always dream about being great. We never have a daydream about being a loser, a failure, a grumbler, a whiner. We daydream about doing something way beyond our normal ability. Now I have a clue for you tonight. Hope it doesn't come as too much as a surprise. But I've never yet in my life dunked a basketball in slow slider. I've never hit a 400-foot home run, and I've never passed a football 60 yards. Probably never 30 yards. There was no way I was ever going to play any professional sport. It just wasn't going to happen. Yet in my daydreams, I think about doing things I'm not capable of myself. Do you follow me? It's always stuff I can't do in the natural. But I can do it in my daydreams. And I started thinking about it. In fact, I think it was the Holy Spirit dealing with me. We were conversing.
Yeah.
And he asked me, why is it you desire to be great? Why is it in your daydreams you want to do something beyond your own ability? Then I heard this. I put that in every believer, actually every person on earth, be greater than they are their natural self.
Yes.
I've called them to be greater than they can produce anything of themselves.
Exceedingly abundantly.
And that daydream you have is that desire to be used by me at the highest levels.
Yes.
Being twisted or misused for prideful reasons. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Or just personal entertainment? God said those daydreams are a result of our God-given call to greatness. God's called us to greatness as we fulfill our call to function out of the kingdom of heaven. Remember, our sign is a training center for the kingdom of heaven. And God's called each of us to go beyond our natural ability and not even think about falling back and just trying to function out of the natural. But always be in a mindset of cooperating and interacting with God to do what we can't do of ourselves. I traveled Georgetown back and forth, up and down, checking the newspapers all, or not the internet all the time. What's for sale? I went to the place I wanted to rent a block shed like this one out here just to have our own place.
Yeah.
Man, I need baskets. Just give me something, place to pray and meet in.
Yes.
We'll bring a country crock butter tub if we need to. hang up a sheet. I don't know. In my mind, I'm thinking, just get us a place.
Yes.
And God said, no. Be patient, be calm. I've got a place for you.
Yeah.
And guess what? God's saying, I'll pay for it. In other words, I'll get the financiers.
Yes.
I'll give you wisdom to fix it up. I'll bring all the supply you need to see it work. And I'll bring the love of God into it.
Yes.
To bring in your harvest. The glory of God is coming in this building.
Amen.
Yes.
And that sounds far-fetched, but I've daydreamed much, much higher as myself of doing more than that. Are you following me?
I can do it.
God's called us to greatness. Each of us. He's saying, I need you to get connected to the kingdom and trust me to move through you. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Let's start reading at verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, this is Paul writing, which has made us meager, able, or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. God's got an inheritance for us. But you don't wait until you die to receive of it. You can partake of it now. He says in verse 13, who hath delivered us, hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You're in another kingdom. You're in a kingdom without limit. We're in a kingdom that has power we can't even comprehend of. I've ministered on it before many times, but in the study of quantum physics, there's a study regarding ZPE, zero point energy. They're discovering these massive amounts of energy being breathed into the creation to keep everything operating. It's being breathed back out at the same rate that they're destroying everything. Way beyond what the energy we normally see. And God has energy and power we can't comprehend of. Think about how much power is in an atom. No, we weren't to split it. God says, that's nothing compared to the power available to you. Creative power at our words, by our faith. God says, you're now in a kingdom without limits. Now you get to be a superhero. When Robley was in here Sunday morning, I had no ability to see a miracle in his body. But I'm partnered with one that can.
Yes.
And by that partnership, God brought power to his physical body, restoration. Amen. Do you follow me?
Yes.
But that power I'm functioning in is available for all of us.
Yes.
The point of this whole message is for you to realize you are called to greatness.
Amen.
But here's something I've discovered. I've discovered the power doesn't come on me until I step out.
It's true.
I didn't mention this earlier. When I had some fellows across the street hollering at me a while ago, you know, cursing. And I walked over, said, hey, let's go meet them.
Yeah.
Walked over to meet them. And I started talking about Jesus and the anointing dropped. They didn't know what was going on. I said, the power of God just dropped on us. And all of a sudden, eyes are being opened.
Yes.
All of a sudden, they're not hating me anymore.
Glory.
You follow me? Maybe not trusting me fully, but they're not hating anymore. And they're saying, I'm really impressed you came over here. I really didn't think you would.
Yeah.
The point is it doesn't drop until you step out.
Yeah.
You got to take a step of faith.
Yes.
Remember the principle of the first step? We step out and God shows up. And if you want God to move in your life, step out.
Amen.
Knowing God called you to be a superhero. Amen. Trying to think of a superhero that acts like that, where until he moves, it doesn't show up. I'm sure there's some out there. But I'm telling you, you don't get to be Spider-Man until you start to try to climb a wall. God's called us to this greatness. We are called to heal the sick. Anybody here can heal the sick of their own ability?
No.
No. We're called to cast out devils. Did you know there's no records of devils being cast out in the Old Testament other than through Jesus? Because man lacked the authority to do so, the ability anyway to do so.
Yeah.
But you know what? Now we do.
Yeah.
You're called to be a superhero. Put on your cape. We're called to open blind eyes, raise the dead. Right?
Yes.
We're called to manifest miracle money. We're called to carry the supernatural love of God and manifest the end time glory of God.
Yes.
He's coming back for a glorious bride. You know what the glorious bride is made up of?
Christ.
Superheroes.
Amen.
Now, when I was a kid, I was a comic book nerd. In fact, it was 35 or so years ago, God said, throw them all away. And I did. I had thousands of dollars worth of comics. I threw them in a dumpster.
Oil
on. God said, that's your plan B. Don't do that. Throw them away. He said it's full of false gods, all this other stuff. And so I dumped him. Anyway, in the comic books, there was Superman, and there was Batman, and there was Wonder Woman, and Aquaman, all these others. But they would form a team and have their own comic book called the Justice League. Remember the Justice League? And of course, that was DC Comics had those characters. Marvel Comics came around back in the early 60s. Marvel had Captain America, Thor, Iron Man. Who was the other one?
Spider-Man.
Giant Man. No, well, but these particular Giant Man and the Wasp, they came together and formed the original Avengers. Seen the movie The Avengers?
Mm-hmm.
I had the first Avengers comic books.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, many of them in single digits. Had whole sets of others.
Goodness.
You
might have paid for this.
Some of them were thousands of dollars now. But it seemed, God said, throw it away, I threw it away. I mean, I felt he did.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to question the obedience of those things. So they formed the Avengers. And of course, if you remember, there was Sue Storm, the Torch. She was the Invisible Girl, the Torch, the Thing, and Mr. Fantastic would stretch. They made up the Fantastic Four. What I'm getting at is all these people with superpowers would form together in the comics as teams and do greater together than they could do by themselves.
Yes.
And God's called us as a glorious church, each of us bringing in our superpowers.
Yes.
To form a team the enemy cannot stand against. So he can pick off lone wolves, wandering strays. If we stay in covenant, we stay walking in the four rules of covenant keeping. We maintain the love of God amongst us. The enemy cannot penetrate our covering, and he cannot pick anybody off.
Water buffalo.
The water buffalo, that's right. We are called to be a great, great, supernaturally empowered team. And all those daydreams you've had all of your life, or, I don't want to say perversions, but twistings of what God really calls you to be. And I mentioned this a few times over the past year, maybe the last 6 months. I made a decision sometime back when I catch my mind wandering, because we're to take every thought captive, right?
Yes.
Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ to the Word. I made a decision, and I've been doing it fairly successfully. Every time I notice my mind going into a daydream, I shut it down and start worshiping God. Because God, I don't want my mind used for cornbread activities.
Cornbread.
You know, worthless, useless activity. Not that cornbread's not useful. Some people love it. But it's still a material. When you're at the all-you-can-eat buffet, I don't eat the cornbread. I'm going for the lobster, the crab, and the filet. And so I want to use my mind to meditate on things involving the Word. And if I find the strength, I'll start worshiping God until it passes. And I've done a whole lot of extra worship over the past 6 months or so since I announced it. I don't remember how long it's been. It's in my notes somewhere. Because God's called us to be superheroes. You cannot flood your mind with the fake and expect to step into the real.
Yes.
So take your mind, take control of it, take control of your thoughts. Let it stop it from wandering whatever it wants to think. And make it focus on Scripture, make it focus on truth and integrity and Word and love. And now God will start raising you into your superhero calling. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
We know from Mark chapter 16, these signs shall follow them that believe, right? It doesn't say these defeats, failures, and disappointments shall follow them that believe. A lot of Christians believe that. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling me how hard it is to be a Christian. Somebody should have warned us how hard it is to be a Christian. Well, it is a battle. You do presented God's way by faith, and you have to take responsibility for your life.
Yep.
Your thoughts, your words, your actions. There is a battle.
Yeah. Yes.
There's Mr. Ponytail wants to stop you.
Yes.
But I'm telling you what, the victories make it worth it.
Yes.
Again, we share this a lot, but you get the two heavyweight boxers in the ring beat the fire out of each other. One's eyes swollen shut, three teeth are missing. You know, he can barely stand. But they say, "You won!" He's all grins.
Yeah.
I won! You just got the tar beat out of yourself, but it didn't matter. You got the victory. And if we'll keep winning, we don't mind the battle so much. Amen.
We win.
And so, don't focus on the hardships. Peggy's not here. Joel's not here. When the water line broke, and they called me, and I laughed. "Pastor, the basement's flooding." "Well, we'll get it taken care of." I walk in and say, "Can you get somebody to shut the water off?" And when I got back, they said, "You didn't get upset at all."
It takes work.
We win.
Yes.
Why get upset if you know you win every time?
Praise God.
And there it was. It shut it off. We got our lines fixed. Got the gas lines fixed. Mm-hmm. How many saw that? I wish I had taken pictures of all the piping that was down there going every which direction. We already stripped it out, plugged it off, and made it look sharp. And yesterday I put 6 pipe supports in. So if a kid runs, some young kid says, "Hey, let's see how many chin-ups I can do on this gas line."
No.
It won't pull it apart. God's called us to be phenomenal. We're called to manifest the supernatural love of God, which means you got to battle for that.
Yep.
And if he's going to try to get you upset, offended, you know, afraid to talk to somebody or hang out with somebody. In fact, we talked about the Sunday morning, didn't we?
Oh.
That message I did Sunday morning, I may do at the marching counter. I haven't decided. But Jesus took a horrible punishment so we as a body of Christ could be fused together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good message.
Amen?
Yeah.
So we let those small things go. But we let them all go. We were never called to be normal. Yeah. I'm looking out here. I don't see anybody I ever thought was normal anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us ever qualified as normal.
What's the standard of normal?
Yeah.
I've yet to meet them. Everybody's got a little bit of a different side, right?
Well.
Well, I'm the normal one. Everybody's got a weird side. That's how we think. I'm the normal one. Everybody's a bit weird. Everybody should be riding unicycles. Anyway, we crave to be greater than our natural man.
Yep.
Man can produce. It's qualified to personally obtain. It says in Scripture, we're called to triumph in Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, triumph means more than be victorious. It means to have a celebration. Triumph was a celebration of the Roman generals. They threw for the Roman generals when he came back from the big victory. It was like a ticker tape day in Roman days. Ticker tape parade in Roman days. And we're called to have that kind of party. Sunday morning. I'm telling you, I started Sunday morning saying, "We will be led by the Spirit." And he had everybody in here. I had everybody here say, "Ha, ha, ha," to start the service. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a party. Time to triumph. Scripture says we are more than conquerors through him which saved us.
Yes.
Think about it. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror?
I'm here. I'm a giant winning.
It means we win.
Yeah, we win.
I'm telling you, the Lord gave me that a few years back. That's become our motto as a church. This is going to be what we're going to stand on from here till eternity. From now till eternity, we win.
We win.
When Bishop Coleman was here and Pastor Farah, remember them? Trying to help us find a building. I kept telling them, we spent 3 or 4 days together. And I said, I always win. I said, I don't have a building.
No.
I'm meeting in a hotel. No, we're in a hotel yet?
No.
We were Harmony. We were Harmony when they came.
No, we were in a hotel.
No.
Yeah.
We were
Harmony.
At Harmony when he came to the church.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we were Harmony.
Anyway, I tell him I always win. I have no building. We can't find a building. Finally, after 3 days, he says, you're right, there's no buildings. They gave up. You know, we'll agree with you. But I kept saying, I always win. I always win. And she liked it so well, she took it back to her church and started preaching, we always win. So now it's become the model, one of the models for their church.
Amen.
Cannot be defeated if we don't quit. Says in 1 John 5:4, that we overcome by the word of God, right? Mm-hmm. Praise Jesus. We were called to be victors in every single situation. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Mm-hmm. And this dropped in there. I've written this down. Happened to who George Patton was.
Mm-hmm. General Patton.
Famous World War II general.
General Patton.
Took the Third Army across France up to Germany, was one of the, considered maybe potentially the rescuer for the Battle of the Bulge, to shut down the German threat there. Known as one of the greatest military leaders of our nation's history, maybe of all histories. Made a lot of mistakes. He celebrated as a great leader. He never carried the authority and power we have available to us today.
Amen.
He could never put a devil under his feet. We can. We're called to abide in the fullness of the atmosphere, authority, and liberty of the third heaven.
Amen.
Right now. I want you to imagine, use that imagination that's been misused over the years. Now focus on, this church is called to function at such an anointing that when people come in, they're overwhelmed by it.
Yes, amen.
When the pastor came in the other day, she says, the anointing is like oil flowing in here.
Yes.
We haven't even started praying like we're going to. I believe people will come in and get delivered and saved just coming in.
Me too.
And of course, Saturday night, Marcus calls me at 11, wakes me up, wanting prayer. I hang up, pray with him, talk a little bit, hang up. I say, I got a little bit of sleep. And I lay back and realize, call him back. I call him back and let him both to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And his girlfriend over here. We're called to carry this third heaven substance that will transform the world. Yes. And we carry every devil in hell that's going to scatter from around us. And some of the distrust and hate that we're feeling in here will be dispersed by the love of God we're going to walk in.
Yes. Yeah.
But you got to see it. You got to expect it. Terry had the word tonight. Come in expecting God to show up.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so thrilled to have a place we can come and pray.
Yes.
All day if you want to.
Amen.
Christians, this is part of the word I got. Drive to Illinois. Most Christians have settled for survival versus domination.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm just hanging on until Jesus comes.
Yeah.
What verse is that? It says the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We're to spoil the kingdom of heaven. We're to bankrupt the devil. Yet most Christians are just thinking, I'm just trying to get by, I'm trying to get to heaven someday, just trying to make it through life. Oh, what a heavy load we carry and what a weight we bear. We've been hanging on versus getting back. Much of the church. And how many have ever seen The Shawshank Redemption, that movie? Mm-hmm. Have you seen it 37 times?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
That tombstone, every time they're on, she watches them again. That and It's a Wonderful Life. I've memorized all three of them. In The Shawshank Redemption, has anybody not seen it?
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman's in it, and it's about, what's his name? Anyway. About a guy being falsely accused of murder and going to prison for life. And he meets people in prison, makes friends, and some of his friends get out. And one of them, when he gets out, he can't adapt to normal life. Morgan Freeman gets out of prison. He's working for a grocery store asking permission to use the bathroom. Boss. And they call that being institutionalized. One of them committed suicide. He couldn't get used to living outside of prison. He's been there so many years. William Buffett talks about it. They've been in there so long, they've been conformed to the prison system. They don't know how to function in the liberty system. That happens quite often. And it occurred to me, how many Christians are institutionalized to living in the natural?
Yeah.
We're so used to functioning in the natural, thinking in the natural, responding in the natural. The thought that we really have access to another kingdom, we don't know how to function in it. And some people reject it because they don't want to make the change. They can't make the shift. But God's saying, I'm looking for people that can think in a superhero mindset to know, I've given you access to all of this.
Yes.
We're called to carry anointings. Make major change. I personally believe the change we're seeing happening with the president right now, that he's taking out a threat to this nation,
yes,
to the world.
Yes.
That presidents in the past have skimmed over.
Yep.
Even supported the regimes. And it's a type or a foreshadow of what God's going to do with his entire church. In fact, what he's doing is a result of intercessors in the church today.
Yes.
He's acting out what we prayed for decades.
Yes.
But God's about to use the church to bring in a harvest in a fashion we can't imagine. Doors are going to open to nations we thought would never be available.
Yes.
If we'll step through them.
Amen.
Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Are you still with me, okay?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to show you something. We tend to read over. Are you there? Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. How many know we don't war with natural weaponry? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty through God of the pulling down of strongholds. God's saying, I've made you a superhero. Don't be institutionalized to the natural.
Yes.
Natural thinking will keep you from the power of God. Even natural daydreaming could have an impact. Casting down imaginations. There you go. The word imagination there is also more used for logic, reasoning. This is casting down imaginations. And every high thing, every lofty imagination, every non-scriptural thought process that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought, say every thought.
Yeah.
So the obedience of Christ, or the obedience really could be obedience to the Word. Every thought. And so we preach on spiritual warfare. Taking captive thoughts. Speaking the Word instead of speaking the Word against those thoughts. Telling the devil to get behind me, right? Obeying what the Spirit of God is leading you into. Spiritual warfare, casting down imaginations. And we usually stop at verse number 5. But look at verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. God said, don't stop at break even. Not kick devil butt. Once you get the victory over that inappropriate thought process or that imagination, now go further.
Yes.
You remember the story? I don't remember if it was Elijah or Elisha who it was, told the king to beat the arrows on the ground. He said, if you beat arrows on the ground, you'll defeat the Syrian army.
Yeah.
So he half-heartedly did it three times. And the prophet was angry and says, had you just did it halfway, had you done it five or six times, had you really beat them, you would have wiped out the Syrian army, it would never be a threat again. But now you only defeat them three times in battle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, God's saying, revenge the disobedience. Don't just cast down imagination. Now start prophesying what God said about the end time church. Start declaring, I will open blind eyes. I will raise the dead. I will cast out devils today. Revenging the attack against your mind, against your imagination, that you pay back at least double.
Yep.
So again, I think part of that, what I started doing is when I had this imagination, I realized I start praising God and I worship God for a while. What are you doing? Revenging on disobedience. Devil, and see, I can speak word and stops and stuff, but then just worship God. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord God. And it's amazing how many times is the anointing fills the vehicle or wherever I'm at when I start doing that. We were never called to break even. Please don't confess Murphy's Law over your life. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Mm. It's amazing how many times I hear people almost daily reference that in some fashion.
Yeah.
Well, I should have known it was going to break. I just bought a new one. You follow me? Or? I had to do this, and sure enough, this went wrong. You are institutionalized to the curse.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
We're called to be above that. Live above it. Oh, how much further should I go with this? Galatians chapter 5. Start to wind this thing. I think I've given you a lot to think about already. Galatians chapter 2. And let's go to verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. In other words, I'm in a different system. The old me, the old situation is there. Yet not I, but Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, live within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see this? He's talking about transitioning to a different life. Then he says in verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, and Christ is dead in vain, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now follow me. We've talked about what grace is in here many times. Grace is your knapsack or your backpack of all the provision, all the power, all the wisdom, everything you need to fulfill your calling in life. So if you were called to be Thor, in your backpack as a hammer. If you're Captain America, in your backpack as a shield. If you're called to be Julia Child, there's measuring cups in that backpack. Whatever it is, it's in there. Now think about it. You're called to greatness. You are called to be a carrier of the glory of God, to bring in God's harvest, to be a shining light supernaturally. And it's all in your backpack of grace. And here Paul said, I'm called to transition to this new realm, but I don't frustrate the grace of God. In other words, I'm pulling everything out of the backpack I need.
Yeah.
I will live a superhero, supernatural life. And to frustrate the grace of God means you live in the natural.
Yes.
To frustrate the grace of God is to live out of the natural.
Yes.
Be limited to that and make no effort to step into your superhero calling.
I
hope you're following this tonight. You're getting something out of it.
That's good.
Yeah.
The word frustrate in the Greek is the word
Athetio, A-T-H-E-T-E-O. Athetio. And it's a word that means to despise, reject, bring to nothing, frustrate, or disannul, or cast off. To do away with, to set aside and disregard. To thwart the efficacy or of anything, nullify, make void, or frustrate, to reject or refuse to slight. And he says, I don't frustrate. I don't do this to the grace of God. I don't make the grace of God of no value. I don't make it void and powerless. You choose what you're going to use. Well, I'm not called to that. You probably are. You still want to dig into the backpack.
Yeah.
Apparently, Timothy had a problem with boldness. Because Paul told him in 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And Paul was saying that timidity, in fact, that spirit of fear meets timidity. Paul was saying you need to get in your backpack of grace and pull love, power, and a sound mind out. Because right now you're pulling the wrong thing into your life. Amen. Amen. Paul had gone through a great disappointment in the persecution scattering his church. But Paul's saying, don't let that affect you. Get into your superhero status. You may think, well, I'm not called to preach. I'm not called to evangelize. I'm not called to witness. I'm not called to lay hands on the sick. Yes, you are. All superheroes are called. Some standard things.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Unless you're an evil superhero. Don't be Magneto. I have a list here from Joyce Meyer Ministries. Oh, there's no way I can read through this all. But I have a list of here with Joyce Meyer list we possess through salvation. Let me read through it just a little bit and see how far we get. Without teaching, I'm just going to read it. She says, I'm complete in him who is the head over all rule and authority, over every angelic and earthly power. I'm alive with Christ. I'm free from the law of sin and death. I'm far from oppression and will not live in fear. I'm born of God and the evil one does not touch me. I'm holy and without blame before him in love. I have the mind of Christ. I have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The Spirit of God who's greater than the enemy in the world lives in me. And she goes on and on of all these things through the scriptures says we possess. You know what that is? It's a listing of what's in your grace backpack.
Yes.
It's important we read these kind of lists and say, I will do this. Refuse to be institutionalized to the natural. Well, I just want to be a good mom, and I just want to be a good dad, and I just want to do these hobbies, and I just want to get through life. God did not birth you into this world for normal. He did not send his son to die on our behalf, a horrible, torturous death for us to accept just getting by. He said, to revenge on disobedience. Paul said in Philippians, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Right? I'm pressing. He's digging into his backpack, finding whatever he can to use. Remind me to get back to that because I had a thought. But then he says, and if I be any way otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto me.
Yes.
God will show me what I'm not using. He'll show me what I have access to but I haven't used. If you'll pray, God will show you. Then step out and do it and watch the anointing come upon you. I'm thinking about a Santa movie I saw Christmas season a while back. And Santa had this supernatural bag and he just pulled stuff out. Oh yeah, this is for Susie, this is for Tommy, whatever. But he had a need for some emergency. He's trying to pull stuff. He's just pulling, nope, can't use that. Trying to find something in the bag he can use. Just, it would appear.
Start digging into your knapsack. Watch it, but find out what's in there. And what God's called you to do with it. Amen?
Amen.
If you've got anything out of this tonight,
yes.